where there is a church, there are going to be workers. Now, I can look around and see various people who do different things. Miss Cassie, our nursery director, and with that, I see Savannah, most of our teenage girls, Zara, my wife, Miss Mirtha. You know, I see a lot of different people. Miss Tina, a lot of different people. And then we have Miss Tina, who does she does sign language. And then we have Miss Jackie and my wife, who are in the office. And we have Brother Howard, who does a great job with our graphic design. We have Brother Eddie, who does a great job with helping our facilities stay up to par and doing a lot of the muscle work. And we have Brother Greg, who drives the van for us. And we have, you know, the deacons and the trustees. And we have, you know, it take all day to praise everyone for all the different things that are going on. We truly are a blessed church to have so many hands and so many gifts. And every time I walk in the hall, I think about Brother Paul's murals, or seeing him up here trimming hedges, or Brother Gary in the back mowing grass, or him up on a ladder. Or it will take all day to praise everyone, but we're so blessed by it. But what's something we have to, something that happens that goes along with it, is there is something called praise. There is something called praise, and what you'll find out happening is that you'll have people, and you'll see Pastor do it, whether it's with me or with some of you or what's going on, but you'll see people get praised. They'll be boasted. The nice things will be said about them, or they'll uplift their ministry, or, you know, whether it's Miss Angelica driving the bus or whatever's going on, right? There are elements of being uplifted. But sometimes you'll have different people who may feel bad because maybe they feel like they aren't getting praised enough, or maybe they haven't gotten praised for what they have been praised along. But the Lord put something on my heart as I was looking through what to preach on the past couple of days, and one of my old messages stuck out to my heart, and I felt the Lord impressing upon me that this is it. I want you to bring this tonight. And I have a question for you. The question for you tonight is, what makes you boast worthy? What makes you boast worthy? What is it that makes it so that you should be bragged on? You heard the old statement, don't brag on yourself, let others brag on you. And that's actually a biblical statement. You may not have known that, but that's a biblical reference, to not to brag upon yourself, but to let other people brag on you. And it's nice. I mean, it's nice to, you know, it's nice to hear someone say something nice to your face, but sometimes I think it's even better to hear that someone was saying something nice about you to someone else. You know, and we get in those places. But my question tonight, in the short time we have, is what makes you brag-worthy? What makes you brag-worthy? Let's pray real quickly, and then we're going to get into it. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. We thank you for sending your son, Lord. I pray that you would help me to realize the importance of occupying the pulpit while our pastor's away. Lord, you know I don't take this lightly. That this was prayerfully decided on what to preach on tonight, Lord. And I just pray that you would anoint my lips, that you would instruct them the way that you have, or talk to them the way that you talk to me, Lord. And I know that you'll be honored and glorified at all. Keep our pastor safe while he's away. In Jesus' name, amen. What makes you brag-worthy? What makes you brag-worthy? I remember a time, it was when I first got here. And when I first got here, I walked into our first youth class. We had like 5 kids in there. There was like no one there at all. And I remember we had been working and working. I was getting to know kids and all these different things. And days turned to weeks, and weeks turned to months, and a month turned to a year. And we still hadn't been growing too much. We maybe went from like 5 or 6 to like 9, 10-ish. And I'm like, man. And I had been struggling. I wasn't really sure like what was going on. And I was going to the Lord a lot, like, man, God, I'm not seeing any fruit really of what's going on. What do you want me to do? How do I help us grow? And how do I bring something to our youth department that'll show that I'm doing my part here? And I remember praying those, and I went through a period where I felt really lost. I felt really lost, and then I remember out of nowhere. I mean, I had been bathing our youth department in prayer and bathing, and then out of nowhere, I walked in one day and we had 18 kids. And I was like, wow, that's great. And I know it's not all about the quantity. It's quality over quantity. It's better to have a few kids who really truly love the Lord and really want to grow than to have a bunch that are just there, you know what I'm saying, or causing trouble or whatever. But sometimes it makes you good to see physical you know? And so I had been praying. I said, man, we had 18, and then we kind of dipped back down to about 13. And then about 2 or 3 weeks later, I walked in. We had 30 kids in there. We had to move rooms. We didn't even have space for all the kids. Like, wow. And I remember the day we hit 40 kids. And I was like, what? Man, it's just great. And I remember one thing. I walked into the gym. We were having an activity. And I remember walking out of the gym. And Dr. Rick just pulled me aside and said, Brother Xavier, I just want you to know that I'm proud of you. And all the feelings. Now, I honestly don't say this, what do you call it? False humility. I don't mean it to sound like this. But I'm not the kind of person who really needs that. For me, actually, it's awkward. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of awkward. I'm just like, thanks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it feels good. Don't get me wrong, but it's awkward. I'm like, okay, can we? Okay, we're done. Thanks. You know? But when he said that to me that day, I mean, it just filled me up with so much more energy. I mean, I didn't realize I had been drained until he said that. I mean, just him, that short statement just recharged me. And I mean, I was ready to charge hell with a squirt gun, boy. I was like, man, it made me feel so good because that was evidence to me that I've been praying to the Lord, like, God, show me growth. Show me that we're growing, and pastor recognizing that did a lot for me. And I was just like, man, that really encouraged me. And then, you know, it ebbs and flows, but it was great. It was great then. And that was something that I remember one time of him saying that. And it wasn't in front of a whole bunch of people. It was just personally. He pulled me aside and just said, I want to say thank you. I'd say that, you know, I'm proud of you. And that meant so much to me because I so much wanted to make sure that I was doing my part, you know, on his staff and fulfilling my purpose. All right, so we're thinking about this, right? And everybody in a different way or shape or a different facet has been bragged on. But let's talk about tonight what makes you brag worthy from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read 5 verses and we're going to get into the content. Verse 1, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, lest happily if they of Macedonia, come with me and find you unprepared, we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Thereof you had noticed before that the same night be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. All right? So I know I said, what makes you boast worthy? But I know that I made a lot of applications talking about the church. But I'm talking about also like in school or in your jobs or in the eyes of your spouse or in the eyes of your kids. You know, the Bible says that her woman called her woman, what's it? It just fell right out of my mind. They called her blessed. That's what it is, right? And her children call her blessed. And what makes you brag worthy in all areas of your life? We're going to look at this today. If you're taking notes, number one, people who are boastworthy, you'll know that you're boastworthy when people find it unnecessary to advise you. You will know that you are boastworthy when people find it unnecessary to advise you. I'm going to read verse 1 again. It says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you. And so Paul says this. He says, I'm writing to you, but it really isn't necessary. I don't really need to. And someone who is boastworthy is someone that does not have to be advised all the time. Now, as I've been a Christian 14 years, and some of you have been Christians double that time, you know, or some have been maybe saved a little less, but I've been a Christian a long time. I'm in my 4th year being in full-time ministry. I have 2 degrees. But I still have a lot to learn about that word. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. That word quick means alive. The Bible is a lot. There's a lot to learn in that word. But I have a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn. Just like all of you have a lot to learn as far as God's word. But as you grow as a Christian, you have 2 stages. The milk stage, like the little babies, and you have the meat stage where you cross over and it goes from drinking just milk, and then it goes to being able to mix in a little bit of cereal, and then it goes to being able to eat peas and mashed potatoes. Did they eat mashed potatoes? Is that okay for them? Mashed potatoes, and then they start slipping into a little bit of the solid foods, and the next thing you know, they're turning into that chicken just like you are, man. And there's that growing. But if you think about it, having to be advised isn't necessarily a good thing. You don't want to get to the place where you want to proclaim like you have this independence that you don't need to be checked up on, or because accountability is important. And I know for many in this room, I've accompanied pastor to come and see you. That doesn't mean that you are backslidden or anything. Sometimes it's like, hey, let's go and see so-and-so today. And that happens. But someone who is boastworthy is someone that doesn't need to constantly be advised. You have two kinds of people in the room that get visited. You have the people that get visited every once in a while where you'll see that it's evident that they're growing. It's evident that they're growing, that they're doing good. They're in church, and you can see growth in them, and you hear great reports and all that different stuff. And so it isn't really necessary, but you love them and you want to go and give them company anyway. And then you have other people who it's like, hey, haven't seen them in church in a month. Let me go by and see how they're doing. Or hey, I heard so-and-so isn't quite doing so good, and maybe they have this going on or that going on. But someone who is boastworthy, sometimes people may feel like, and I'm not speaking for pastor, this is me as a second man giving an observation to you, all right? But I noticed that whenever I go out visiting with him, there are different levels in which he visits people. Why? Because there are some people who need him to visit them a little bit more. They need that. They need that. It's imperative to their growth. And then you have some people that don't get visited much, and maybe sometimes the people who don't get visited much may feel hurt. Like, what? Does my pastor not love me? Does my pastor not care? I had someone say to me one time, you know, you're my assistant pastor too. And sometimes you may feel overlooked, but a lot of that stems from confidence in you. Confidence in where you are and confidence in your growth. Where it's so nice sometimes, I don't take this the wrong way, but it's so nice knowing you don't have to worry about someone. You know what I'm saying? And that may be a little bit, I hope I don't sound selfish, but it's one of those where it's like, I know that they're okay. And I know that I have time to get to them. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like when you have an older kid. You have an older kid and then you have a younger kid. And you know the older kid is a little bit more responsible. And the older kid could take a little bit more heartbreak because they can understand a little bit better why you had to miss this or why you have to miss that. But for the younger one, you'll break your neck to go to this or break your neck to do this or do the best you can to do that. Why? Because it would devastate them if it didn't work out with them that they needed to. Why? Because they need a little bit more attention than the older one does. The baby is going to cry. They're going to need you to hold them and coddle them and sing to them and feed them their bottle even though they can hold it and all that other stuff. While the older kid, you know, they know how to pop some macaroni in the fridge or in the microwave, or they know how to make themselves a sandwich, and they don't need you so much. They can give themselves a bath. And I hope you understand what I'm kind of getting at here is saying that it's not that you're unimportant. It's just that there are sometimes people who need a little bit more, not maintenance, but they need a little bit more attention than you do. But someone who is bragworthy that says, you know what, I don't have to worry about that person because I know they're doing right. I know they're on the right track. Hey, they may slip a little bit here and there, but we're all human and it happens. But that's what Paul is saying to them. He said, hey, it is superfluous to me that I even write unto you. I'm sorry if I'm even wasting your time. I don't have to write to you. I know you're doing good. I mean, I'm going to do this because I need to. It's courteous. You're a church that I planted. I need to check up on you and let you know that I'm thinking about you and that I love you. But I know that I'm going to write to you. Some people might say, man, you know, Paul never writes to us. He writes to Ephesus and he writes to Philippi. And he takes tons of trips to all these other places, but he never sees us. He sends Titus or he sends Timothy or he brought Mark with him or... They feel that way. Oh, it's you. Not Paul. Wow. He couldn't even take the time to come see me. And it's not like that. He's like, I know you're doing fine. But I want you to know that I'm thinking about you. I want you to know that I love you. And what you have to know is that someone who is boastworthy is someone who doesn't have to perpetually be advised. You don't have, you know, there are some people that Paul wrote unto, the church of Corinth. And the first book of Corinthians, the theme of First Corinthians is the correction of the carnal Christian. Alliteration for you, right? Correction of the carnal Christian. And they were messing up, letting all kinds of false doctrines in there and getting into all kinds of heresy and all that stuff. And when Paul wrote that letter to them, it was not nice. He said, y'all got to straighten up before I come down there. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't so much of a nice letter. He had to check on them. And guess whatever happened? He had to write them a second letter. You see that? That's what happens. He didn't have to write two books to the book of to the church at Rome. He didn't have to write an extra letter to the church at Galatia or Ephesus or Philippi or Colossae. He didn't have to write. He only wrote one letter to Titus. He only wrote one letter to Philemon. You know what I'm saying? The church at Thessalonica got a couple, and so did Timothy got a couple. But you can see there where sometimes it took a little bit more. I couldn't say it all in one writing. And even in all of those cases, when he wrote to Thessalonica, it wasn't all bad. When he wrote to Timothy, it was just instruction, gearing him up for the ministry. He wasn't saying anything bad to him. But sometimes some people need a little bit more than others. But what's bragworthy is someone who doesn't have to be advised all the time. Advised all the time. That is someone who is bragworthy. So number one, what makes you boastworthy? Number one, people who it's unnecessary to advise you. Number two, you know that you're boastworthy when people love talking about you to other people. When people love talking about you to other people. Look at verse 2. For I know the forwardness. Excuse me, my allergies are awful. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Okay, so the first letter of the Corinthians was correction of the carnal Christian. And the second time was a little bit more encouraging. But he was saying, like, look, I boasted to them at Macedonia over you. And you know you're boastworthy when people are always talking about you to others in a good way. When you don't hear maybe a lot coming to you, but man, you heard about that Xavier? Not that he's being a punk. He finally straightened up. If you talk to a lot of people that knew me a long time ago, you ask Dr. Riggs, Miss Christie. I remember 2007, I won Camper of the Year one year. And I was shocked. Because as a teenager, I was a nightmare. I mean, I didn't necessarily get in trouble in school a whole bunch of stuff, but I got into stuff, man. We had fun. We gave kids swirlies. We did all kinds of stuff. I ran with those kids. And I remember when I got Camper of the Year, I was like, what? They said, Xavier, they called you. I'm like, what are you talking about? I wasn't even paying attention. I was like, what? I was like, Xavier, come on up. I was like, oh. And you know what I'm saying? But when you hear someone bragging about you to someone else, it feels so good, like we were talking about before. Hearing it through the grapevine. Man, oh man. Have you heard about that Savannah? Man, that girl Savannah's just been doing so good. She's just a great girl. And then someone comes to you like, Sabrina, guess what so-and-so said about you? Brother Xavier was saying all this stuff, talking about how you were so fun and nice. And it makes you feel good. Like, he said that about me. You know what I'm saying? It makes you feel good. Now, when someone says it to you, you're a little bit more humble. Like, oh, thanks. That's so nice. But when you hear that someone's been talking about you, it makes you feel good. Like, yeah, that's nice. Oh, yeah. And it makes you feel good. You walk away on cloud nine. But somebody who is boastworthy is someone that is worth talking to others about. I have a word for you. Your testimony. Your testimony. When others think of you, what do they think about? Because whether you like it or not, when your name comes up to other people, there is going to be a certain stigma that's attached to your name. A certain mindset, a certain feeling. And you know what's hard is that they say it takes 10 years to build your testimony and 10 seconds to tear it all down. And once someone has a sour taste in their mouth about you, it is so hard to break that. It is so hard to dig yourself out of that hole because for what? Because even though you may have done 1,000 nice things, but that one thing you did to them may have been so devastating, that's all they can remember when they think of you. All they can think about when they think of you is pain. And we don't want anyone to think of us that way. But when people think nice things about you, man, they cannot help but tell you about it. They cannot help but tell you about it. They cannot help but tell others about it. They can't help but sharing that good news. Like, man, you walked outside. I mean, I've seen it happen. I've seen some of you church members that have done things, and Pastor Riggs has come in and said, "Brother Xavier, man, come out here and look at this. Have you seen that mural down there? Have you seen that lawn? Or have you seen the kitchen lately? Have you seen the board that Miss Terrell put up?" Like, it's all those, and I'll see him do that, and I'll see him brag about all kinds of people. He'll call me in his office, "Brother Xavier, let me see you for a minute." No, he does it. "Let me see you for a minute." That's not going to be a minute, but he says, "Let me see you for a minute." And he comes in, and he'll just be like, "Wow." I heard him bragging to someone the other day. He talked about how he moved Brother Ray from the children's church to the bus route, and moved Brother Dominic up to the bus route, up to the children's church, and how they both just, boom, shot up. Anyone notice that? You don't see it so much now because they're not being dismissed from here, but there's a big old fat group of them down there. You know what I'm saying? They're bringing so many kids on that bus, Brother Jelani and Brother Ray working that thing. And I remember a lot of times we come in and we'll catch you guys, Miss Angelica, turning down into DeBenson's neighborhood, and we'll see that. We'll just see all the kids on the bus. And I heard them just bragging, like, "Man, we got some faithful people." And that's how you know you're doing good. When you're brag-worthy, when they can't help but talk about you to others. Sometimes being bragged on face-to-face could be a little bit awkward, but it's not so awkward when you can tell it to someone else. You know that it may get back to them. That's what you want to get back to them, the good stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But how do you know that you're boast-worthy? You may think about, you know, am I even brag-worthy? Am I even worth? Do I do anything good? Am I even being recognized for anything? Well, are you brag-worthy? Someone that people find it unnecessary to advise you. Number two, people who love talking about you to others. Number three, when your zeal produces fruit, not just in your life, but in those around you. When your zeal produces fruit, not just in your life, but in the lives of those around you. Look at verse 2 again. It says, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." Here's a word for you: influence. Your influence. I take you back to Joseph. Joseph had quite literally been through hell and back. Went through a lot of stuff. He was a great kid. He became a prophet at a very young age, and God began showing him things. Immediately, his brothers got jealous. They sold him into slavery, tell his dad he got eaten by a pack of wild beasts. Sold him into slavery. He comes to Potiphar's house. And what do we learn about Joseph? Is that Potiphar kept him around because while he was in Potiphar's house, what happened? He prospered. And even when the king had to send Joseph to jail over what his wife had told him, it hurt him. It hurt him because he knew that God was on Joseph. What about Jacob? He's working for Laban's daughters. He wants Rachel so bad. He loves her. The Bible says those 7 years for her. And the Bible says for Joseph, it felt like days because his love for Rachel was so great. But what did Laban do? He tricked him, right? He tricked him and he gave him Leah. So what happened? He had to work another 7 years to get Rachel's hand. And then after that, he worked out an agreement so that he can stay 6 more years. That's a total of what, 20 years working for him? Why? He didn't want to let him go. Why? Because he knew that God was on him and they prospered while he was there. What about the children of Israel when they went to Egypt? And they started off as a small little group, and they're there, but God is blessing his people. And after a while, the Egyptians got afraid that, oh, man, they're going to outgrow us. And maybe they'll try to usurp or cause an insurrection, and we gotta watch them now. And see, because what happens is that if you live the life you're supposed to live, and you are growing in the Lord, and you are pursuing His will, and allowing Him to utilize you to the best of your abilities, not only will you be blessed, but others will be blessed from the excess. Be blessed from the excess. Why do you think you put a saucer on your teacup? Under your teacup? Because you know that if you're anything like me, or like us island people, Miss Cecile, you put condensed milk in your tea. You broke my heart. I thought you did. Miss Cecile, my mom sent, my sister came up for the weekend, and she came to visit me, and she brought me some Milo. Yeah, man. She brought me some Milo. And Milo is like this chocolate drink, but when you put it in, like Nesquik really dissolves really well, but Milo doesn't. If you drink it cold, it's kind of clumpy, and I love it. Oh, it's so good, right? But I fill that bad boy to the top, you know what I'm saying? But why do you put the saucer underneath it? Because you don't want your tea to what? To spill over. When you allow God to use you, what makes you brag-worthy is when God uses you, and people have to be that saucer underneath your cup, because they know that they're going to be blessed around you. They know that if I hang out with Mary long enough, someone that's going to rub off on me. Hey, if I hang out with so-and-so a little bit more, it'll rub off on me. Hey, if I hang out with Benaiah a little bit longer, you know what? It's going to rub off on me. And when someone gets that idea around you, they will flock to you like flies. I had a friend in high school. Her name was Brianna Patterson. She was a teenager in the youth department at Starlight Baptist Church. And I got saved when I was 14, but I didn't really live it. And from 15 to 17, I kind of was rough. Between that time, I had failed a grade. I went to jail. A lot of stuff had happened. I was in a very dark place for about 3 years after I got saved. The devil knew what was coming, huh? And I went through a really dark time. But when I got serious about my faith, I wasn't looking to the friends who were right next to me. I wasn't looking to the kids that I was getting into wrong with. In my mind, I remembered Brianna Patterson. And although we were mean to her, we didn't include her in stuff, we made fun of her. In that moment, I remembered that she was the godly one. And guess who I wanted to be friends with when it was over? Why? Because I want to be blessed by the excess. I wanted to glean from what God was doing in her life. And it's important to realize that someone who is boastworthy is someone that says, man, you got to become friends with Miss Tina, boy, because God is using her. And if you hang around her, boy, you're going to get some of that. You're going to get some of that good stuff. You're going to get God's blessing on you just from being around her. What kind of testimony is that for someone to say, I want to just be friends with you because of what God is doing in your life, and I want some of it? By the way, that's what we should be doing as Christians anyway. They should be able to look at you and say, man, what's different about him? What's different about her? And, you know, curiosity kills the cat. And so what do? They want to be around you longer. Something's different. And I want it. That's what we should be doing. This little light of mine, right? Don't hide it under a bushel. No, right? Why? Because that light will draw them in. Miss Cecile, when I lived in Jamaica and Mobe for a little while, you know, up in the country area where, or St. Elizabeth, when I was there, we didn't have a lot of electricity up there. And you can just see little lights up in the mountains of people. But because of that, whenever my grandma flipped that porch light on, you will see moss, mosquito, you see all kinds of stuff flying around that light. Why? Because it's the only light around for a couple of miles. And when that light comes on, they want to flock to it. You need to be that light that people flock to. Why? Because God's doing something. I have a friend, and I'll move on to the next point. I know I'm running over. I'll run through the last of it pretty quick. But I have a friend who's no longer in church. We were very, very, very good friends as teenagers. I remember one time I was in preacher boy school. And I remember I was singing this song I had heard. And he was like, Xavier, you're going into the ministry. Why would you even think about singing something like that? Someone who's not even in the ministry anymore. That lets you know that better Christians than you and I have failed. Just so you know, you got to be careful. Be sober, be vigilant, because that devil will pick you off just like it did him. But I remember that. I remember that. But we've talked here in recent years, and I told him about what I'm doing, and different things have happened. He said, Xavier, God is doing with you what he would have done for me if I would have just stayed with him. God is doing for you. I'm watching. And they always make fun because I tell people all the time, I'd rather be blessed than rich. Because rich doesn't always mean blessed. And I've just seen God come through over. And he'll always say, Xavier, you're the luckiest person I know. And I'll tell him, I'm not lucky, I'm loved. God's got me. And we have to strive to be those people that when people come around us and say, wow, I got to be friends with them. Why? Because I got to be blessed off the excess. He says, listen, he says, I'm just so proud of you guys because I boast of you to them of Macedonia that Achaia was ready a year ago. They're ready a year ago because your zeal hath provoked them to many. This baby church that he was working on, he came to find them and was like, man, they grew like crazy. He says, hey, they are ready to be set free a year ago. Why? Because your zeal provoked them to move forward. You know, that's what a body is supposed to be for. We're not supposed to be just confined to these four walls, y'all. The body is not this building. The body is the souls that are sitting in these pews. And the reason it's called a body because you don't have 16 heads and 35 arms and 3,000 fingers and 72 hearts and four lungs, right? You don't have all this other stuff. Why? Because every part has a purpose. You have one head, you have one heart, you have two arms and two legs, you have 10 toes and fingers. And because all of those different parts of the body are mechanisms that work together to make the body function. Why? And that's why God talks about so much about unity in the house of God. Unity in the house of God. Our church is getting ready to make some really big decisions in the near future. And now more than ever, we got to be unified. Now more than ever, there's got to be harmony because if there is discord in the house of God, we're going to crumble. We've got to, you need that harmony. And that's what he's saying. He's like, man, they were ready. They're a baby church and they are surging forward and doing crazy things for God. And you know why they did it? I wish I could say it was because of me. Nah, I went to go see them and they were ready already. I was like, wow, what's going on? Oh, your zeal provoked them. God, he talks to the pastor of Achaia and says, hey, what happened? Man, y'all are booming. Oh, well, see, we've been getting together with a church at Corinth. I guess your first letter really lit a fire under them, boy, because they are making it happen now, and we like that, and so we've just been hanging out with them, doing what they're doing, and boom, we're growing. That zeal, and that your zeal for God may be the very things that provoke people to move forward. Number four, I'm almost done. What makes you both boast worthy? Number four, when you create an image that people don't want tainted. When you create an image for yourself that people don't want tainted. Look at verse 3. Yet have I sent the brethren. So he says, hey, I don't need to write to you, but I sent them anyway. Yet I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. You ever heard the phrase, it's too good to be true? He said, I heard y'all were cutting it up in Corinth. Woo! I had to go send some brothers to make sure that I'm not telling people a lie. Y'all ever heard the statement in marriage, you're going to make an honest man out of me? And Paul says, I've been bragging on this church so much, I better send some people down there to make sure they're doing right because I've been telling people all this stuff. You ever heard someone say, you know, I was saying such and such about you, don't let me down. Don't prove me wrong. That's what he was doing. He says, hey, y'all were so good. I had to send somebody to check it out to make sure that I wasn't daydreaming, that I wasn't telling people lies. I had to make sure that it was going how I said it was going because I told some people that y'all were tearing it up down here and somebody's going to visit. And so I got to make sure that y'all doing what's right. You know what I'm saying? And he sends them down. He says, hey, I don't need to check on you, but I sent the brethren anyway to make sure that this isn't a dream. That you guys are not more, less than what I thought you were. And he went down there and said, sure enough. You know you're boastworthy when people are more focused on you and the picture that's painted of you than maybe even you are. You know that you're doing something when people want your testimony protected. You know you have some loyal friends when some people go to bat for you. Because you've heard it. That's why you think that when boys are afraid to talk to a girl, they send their friend? Hey, you know, my boy likes you, you know what I'm saying? Oh, him? No, but he's a nice guy, and he does this, and he plays basketball, and what they do, they want to gas him up so they can be interested. And most girls will say, well, if he liked me, he should have just came over here and talked to me himself, right? But they send the friend as a forerunner, right, to say, hey, he's doing this, and he's great, and he's got all this stuff going on, and they don't want the image of their friend to be tainted. And how do you know you're boastworthy? Now, this is not a lesson for you to get lifted up in pride, because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So you better check yourself or you wreck yourself. Amen. But he says, you know that you're boastworthy when you are so lifted that others don't want your testimony to be tainted. He says, hey, I had to come send some guys to check y'all out myself because I heard some amazing things. I had to make sure that it was true. I don't want you guys to blow it. He says, hey, because I have sent some people to you, and I have set some things up here in verse 3. He says, I did these things, boasting on you of your boasting, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. He says, I already told people y'all are ready to go. I'm just making sure that it was. What's your testimony like, friend? I tell the kids, and Dr. Riggs laughed at me when I told him this, but a lot of our teenagers are at an age where they're all getting jobs. And before they got to that place, I told them, I said, hey, if I don't honestly feel like I can recommend you, I won't do it. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But if I don't feel like I can recommend you, I won't do it. Why? Because I don't want, because that's going to come back on me. You know what I'm saying, Brother Greg? They're going to be like, well, Xavier, so-and-so, hey, how's so-and-so doing at work? Oh, we fired him. Why? Late for work every day, not doing what he's supposed to, half-hearted jobs, we just weren't doing it. And they're not going to want anyone else I recommend from that point forward, because now my testimony is shot with them, that I don't have good judgment. And so he says, hey, they don't want that image to be tainted. Number 5, you know that you're boastworthy, and I'm going to move through the last 2 points pretty quickly. I'm out of time. You have the power to disappoint. You know that you are boastworthy when you have the power to disappoint. These teenagers don't know it, but I have ulterior motives. It's like this. Kids, I'm about to sell y'all out. When you have a child, you only have to spank them for so long. After a while, the spankings don't work. I remember my little brother became a tank really quickly. One day, he was 3 feet tall, little chubby-cheeked kid. Now he's 6'2", 220 pounds, man. He's taller than me and my mom put together, man. He's a hoss, man. And I remember the day that he got his last whooping, my mom spanked him, and he didn't even flinch. He was more perturbed than hurt. And she caught that it wasn't hurting him, and she's like, man, had to resort to something else. But I've learned, teenagers, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to, I shouldn't expose my secret, but I'm going to tell you what my secret is. You win them to you on purpose. You win people to you on purpose. Why? Because you get them to the point where they love you. And they get to a place where they don't want to do anything to, what am I going to say, hurt or disappoint. They don't want to disappoint you. They don't want to let you down. And I've seen that happen. I've been in that place before, man. When someone that I see, I'm one of those people that I could care less if you don't like me. Don't care. I tell these teenagers all the time, Brother Dave, I don't like you, so bye. Get out of my office. I don't care. But when there's someone that I want to like me, someone's affection that I'm trying to earn that reject me, that hurts so bad. And I remember one time, I forgot what it was that I did. And I heard Mike Herringer say, you know, I'm just disappointed. I expected better from you. And man, it just crushed me into some little pieces. Like when you have your Doritos in your bag and you crush them up and you open it some little pieces, I felt like garbage, man. I felt terrible. Why? Because I loved him and I knew that he loved me and he expected better for me. And a lot of times parents, it gets to that point. You know that your kid, you know where you are with your kid when you tell them that you're disappointed and it tears them up. And you know that you're boastworthy when you have the power to let somebody down. That's how you can tell when you're in someone's life. See, there's some people that can do stuff and you're like, oh, I expected it. So what? We'll move forward. It's whatever. And there are some people that do things and it's like, oh, man. Come on. It's like when you have a sibling. It's like when someone picks on you about something and you're like, I don't care. You're stupid. But your siblings know what really hurts you. And they know what buttons to push. And maybe when they say something mean, man, it tears you up. And you get angry. You get fighting mad. Because they know that that makes, they know that that hurt your feelings. They did it on purpose. It's a difference. You know that somebody has an important, you know that somebody is boastworthy when they have the power to disappoint. And the last point, and we'll be done. Look at verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as covetousness. You know that somebody is boastworthy. You know that you're boastworthy, number 6, when people take time to check on your growth, direction, and performance. Now, that's contrary to the point I gave you in the beginning where it said that someone has to be advised often. To advise and to check on are not always the same thing. You know, sometimes Dr. Rex has told me many times over that he's proud of me, and I love that. But there have been some times where he's pulled me into his office and said, give me a report on the youth department, how things are going. I noticed you haven't been doing this so much. I'd like to see some more of that. And have you tried doing this? I want you to get some things in mind, and he'll pitch ideas to me or some mandatory things that he wants to see done. But it's not that he's disappointed in me. He just wants me to continue to grow, wants our youth department to continue to perform. He wants us to continue to have a good time and have a place, a safe, fun environment for teenagers. To keep the juices flowing, to not get monotonous and just let it just coast. To keep us going forward. That's not bad. It's constructive. And you know that you're boastworthy when someone sees that you're on a good roll and they keep on pushing you to do better. Brother Gary, I don't want to embarrass you, but I remember Dr. was telling a little bit of a story about just your relationship with Dominic, growing up with him. And he, you know, I've even heard Dominic say some things just about like how much you meant to him and the growth and how you helped keep him on the straight. And that was Mike Carringer for me. Mike Carringer, this little country boy from North Carolina that always wears a Georgia Bulldogs hat. I mean, when he got a hold of me, I was in the roughest place that I've ever been. This street New York kid. I'm a Jamaican from New York. That's dangerous. And that's what I was, man. Brother Greg, I'm talking about angry, bitter. I was fighting. I was doing stuff I wasn't supposed to. I mean, I never mistreated my mom or anything, but outside of that, I got into all kinds of stuff. And there are a couple times he had to get in my face and say, straighten up. And you know what? He had deposited so much into me. He could do that. I didn't retaliate. I didn't get mad. I didn't say, get out of my face, or who are you? You're not my father. Don't talk to me like that. As a matter of fact, and his son to this day, I'm talking, how old am I now? 26? 8 years later, he still has me in his phone as chocolate son. My chocolate son. I put that in his phone one day just messing with him. And he's like, well, I tried to find your name. I couldn't find you. And I called him, and that's when my name popped up. And, you know, to this day, it still says that. I'll be 27 next month. Still says that. He had deposited so much, and he got to a place where he said, hey, you're growing. Don't mess it up. I remember I was, 2013. Sorry, babe. 2013, I went on, and I'll finish with this, and you can close yourself up or done. But I did an internship. It was required for me as a ministerial student to do an internship at a church. So I spent that summer. I mean, that summer, my intern partner together, him and I together saw 72 souls saved. We passed out thousands of tracts. We did hours upon hours upon hours of soul winning. We did, I mean, just great. I got to the place where I was on my feet every morning, on my knees every morning. To be honest with you, I haven't been able to get back to that. But I was on my knees every morning just weeping over the word. I mean, I'm praying the Psalms. I mean, I'm spending hours in my Satan couldn't do nothing. Powerful. And I remember that. I remember I had met a girl that last semester. And we had been talking. And we had been communicating all through the summer. Well, I had saved up some money on top of what was going toward my tuition to be able to. I called her mom and said if it was okay for me to come and spend a few days with them. And I did. But when I got back, the first thing when I got there that first night, Michael Carringer called me and said, "Xavier, you had a fantastic summer. God did all kinds of things with you, man. We saw your updates via Facebook or whatever was going on. It was fantastic." He says, "Don't you blow it." That's what he said to me. He said, "Don't you blow it." And when I left the trip and I saw him that next Sunday, "Okay, come in here and talk with me for a minute. Did you blow it?" Not that he felt like he had to advise me, but he had to keep on checking on me to make sure I was doing what's right, to make sure I was moving forward with my Christian life. And you have to just make sure that you know that it's important for you if someone takes the time to check and make sure that you're still growing. See, when you get a house visit, it's not always because you've been out of church too long, or it's not because you did something, or you get passed to ask for a meeting, or whether it's you teens that ask you for a meeting or pull you aside. It's not because you did wrong. Sometimes it's just to make sure you are still doing what's right. So how do you know you're boastworthy? You know you're boastworthy when people find it unnecessary to advise you. You find that you're boastworthy when people love talking about you to others. You know you're boastworthy when your zeal produces fruit, not just in your life, but in the lives of others. Number four, you know that you are boastworthy when you create an image that others don't want you to taint of yourself. You know that you're boastworthy when you have the power to disappoint someone. And you know that you're boastworthy when people take time to check to make sure that you are still growing. Just because you're boastworthy doesn't mean that someone has to constantly be boasting about you. It just means that you're someone that people are proud to boast about. There's an old statement that goes, "Be the change you wish to see in the world." And that's how you know you are growing. Amen? Wasn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Dr. Riggs will be back in his place this weekend, so you should be. I look forward to seeing those of you who can make it for Saturday visitation on Saturday at 10 sharp. And we'll be having a good time. And then, of course, Sunday, Pastor, of course, will be back in his place, and everything will be moving on like how it's moving on. All right, don't forget the announcements. I'm going to stand with me. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed.